Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. And tonight, God, is special to me anyway, and somewhat of a hallmark in the sense that we now come to this conclusion of chapter 59. We now head down to the close of the book of Isaiah, and it is truly our future. Lord, tonight as we look at this portion of scripture, Father, we pray that we would get excited about heaven. Every believer in the place tonight, or those watching right now, should get excited about the fact that we're going to heaven when this is all over. And we thank you, God, for that. So, Lord, bless now the going forth of your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, grab your Bibles and turn tonight to Isaiah chapter 59. And in our last time together, we were looking at the opening first two verses. And I'll talk about those for a moment. But in verses 3 to 21, Isaiah chapter 59, we're looking at a message entitled, What is Real? Okay? What is Relevant? Two questions. What's real? What's relevant? It's an important question. You and I live in an age right now when things are so skewed and getting so weird and weirder by the day. There are now technologies available where you, in fact, I heard it coming to church tonight again. But there's technologies that are available today that are so advanced and so strange. I say strange because they do not require human interaction with another human. And hearing on the news tonight, there was a segment on the news where this is the first time in human history where people have more friends in the cyber world. They talk to them, not really, they don't speak. They talk to them, but they don't speak. They'll even say in this day and age, young people, I just talked to my friend. Oh, where's your, you just talked to your friend? Yeah. Where does he live? Bogota. Oh, you called him? No, we were texting. That's considered talking now, texting. And relationally, now it's on a screen. And this technology is advancing to the point where people are having relationships with computers and devices and hoods or goggles where they're now interacting with people around the world and they're 10,000 miles away. And now the technology is you can put on a suit, you can put on this suit and zip it up. And it's connected to the technology, and the person that might be in Hong Kong reaches out and touches you on the shoulder, and you feel it on your shoulder. And this is vogue now. This is the way that it's going. But is it real? And is it relevant? Because we're creating a world that is altogether detached from reality. And so there's a lot of that going on. So in setting this up, I want you to look at a Newsweek special edition, and it's amazing to me, man's cosmic quest to find a new reality or meaning. So I want to show you this first slide or this first screen. So Newsweek special edition. This was a couple years ago. Life beyond Earth, the mission to find the answer. What do you think they're talking about? Okay, life beyond Earth. Now, you and I as Christians know the answer to that. You and I know the reality. And by the way, it is real that there is life beyond Earth. You and I sit here, we're bored with that kind of talk. Not the world. The world is on a quest. They're on a mission to find the answer. Exploring the universe with researchers, astronomers, eyewitnesses, and more. Wow, what's the next slide show us? Searching for the truth. Humans continue to hunt for proof that we are not alone, no matter where that journey takes us. Of course we're not alone. We are not alone. But they don't know that. They think on a globe of, what, 8 billion people, we're alone? We're not alone. But they're on a quest because they don't want to be alone. 8 billion people, that's not enough. We've got to go to some other universe, some other planet, some other place, because we've got to find some meaning to all of this. Searching for the real reality. Okay, are you sure about that? Searching for the truth. Next slide. Seeing signs. Crop circles. Could be an indicator that we're not alone. We could be having visitors. Next slide. Ancient visitors. Talking about things that could have been here before. Things in history past. Many of you are old enough to remember Eric Von Doniggen's Chariots of the Gods, that kind of just broke open that world of extraterrestrial existence and all. And it's so romantic and fantastic and exciting. Do we have another slide? I think that might be it. One more. No, that is... Oh, yeah. Are we alone? All of you know the answer to these things. Reality is not reality enough for those that are still searching, is my point. The world that we live in is unacceptable to people, but they look at the world around them. Let's be honest. You and I look at the world that is around us, and this world is unacceptable to me too. This is an ugly world, but I know the answer. You know the answer, that you and I are going to heaven when this is all over, that God is real. The Bible is a book actually delivered from outer space. Can I put it that way? The Bible came from outer space, from the throne of God himself. He spoke the word and the worlds into existence, the Bible says. God gave us, and if that wasn't enough, he revealed his very nature to us in he that it was called the Son of God, Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Friends, that's real, that is relevant alien talk right there. God came from his world to our world to reveal himself to us. And that's all important. But listen, man is searching. When you don't have God, you're gonna go search. You're gonna look outside yourself. When you don't have God, you're gonna be trying to find the answers. And personally, recently this week, there's been some things that have shaped the comment I'm about to make. This next news from CNN, which you guys have already heard about this, regarding Mars. There's a lot of talk about Mars and evidence detected of a lake beneath the surface of Mars and water, and they go through all of the stuff, and I'm not knocking exploration. I think it's awesome. I think it just declares the glory of God. Here's my point. You read that article, and it's about life. There could be life. It could be embryonic. It could be microscopic. But we're so excited. We think it's possible we found life. And I see that, and I hear that, and I think of the hypocrisy of man when he's alienated from God. What do I mean? We're going to be reading in Isaiah 59, verses 3 to 21, regarding the nation of Israel, specifically Judah, that had gotten away from God, okay? And when you get away from God, you think weird. When you get away from God, you don't do well. When you get away from God, things don't work out right. And the world is looking for answers, and the very answer has been given to them, but it's unacceptable. The answer is God. The answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the answer. He's the answer. He can answer all of this stuff. If you just read his word, he'll answer. But we're searching Mars and everywhere else, and we are just going, we're talking about, oh my goodness, we found life, maybe possibly life. We found a molecule of water. There could be life in there. And here's what I think the hypocrisy is. We have life. And when I say you and I, I'm talking about all of humanity. We have life here and now, but are we passionate about that life that we have? What about the life of one another, toward one another? Do we get that excited? We get so excited about the possibility of life on Mars when there's somebody that sleeps next to you in your bed called your husband or your wife or your neighbor or the person sitting next to you tonight. We'll look right over somebody to try to find something on Mars. And then all of a sudden to a world around us, life is so important, but we abort babies wholesale. Isn't it a weird thing about it? We think we found life on Mars, but we kill 60 million children in America. Isn't that weird? And I was trying to reconcile this stuff. What a weird thing. We're spending billions of dollars to explore deep space looking for life, and then we turn around and we abort babies that are just under our nose. Isn't this strange? You say, Jack, what are you getting at? Exactly what Isaiah is talking about in chapter 59. When man divorces God from his thinking, then man begins to kill others and live lawlessly. Did you see the news out of Portland tonight? Don't go to Portland anymore. San Francisco, you can't go. You're going to endanger your life if you go to Portland tonight. If you've got a business dealing in Portland, you better cancel. Unbelievable. What is happening? When we get away from God, what is real becomes unreal. Listen, what's truly relevant becomes irrelevant. Because we begin to form and create another world, because man without God is dead. The old Puritans used to say that the definition of insanity is when God is not in the thoughts of a man. There's no fear of God in your life anymore. It's quite remarkable. So church, let's dive into it. I'll read verses 1 and 2, but we've already studied it, but we'll move on to verses 3 to 21. In Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, nor is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." Remember that? We looked at that. Four things we saw that the Lord is able to forgive. Remember that in verse 1. God is able to forgive. He's delighted to do that. The second thing we saw in verse 1 is that the Lord is desiring to hear from. He wants to hear. God wants to hear, and he wants to forgive us. We learned in verse 2 last time that the Lord will not tolerate our iniquities, though, because he's holy. God will not tolerate our iniquities. There's a day coming of reckoning if we don't take our sins to the cross. And then we saw in the closing end of verse 2 that the Lord will no longer favor us. We'll lose God's favor if we offend him. God will not answer our prayers. God will not hear our prayers. He's able to hear and he's able to rescue, but he will not. When we're living in a life as a believer, and for that matter as a non-believer, of course, we're not walking with him. So he goes on in verses 3 through 8. So what is real? What is relevant? Look at this. The first thing we see in verse 3 is this fact. We will need to look into the mirror. For us, for you and I to think right and to live right and to have a life of meaning and purpose, we're going to need to look in the mirror. Listen to what God says. He says, "For your hands are defiled with blood and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies and your tongue has muttered perversity." So here's the reality. God is saying, look, I want to love you and I want to show you that love. I want to bless your life. Friends, listen, it's pretty rough, this chapter 59, for a purpose. He's setting it up. I want to hear from you. I want to rescue you. I want to be in your life favoring you. So let's get that going. God would say to you tonight, he's saying to me tonight, okay, Jack, I want to bless your life, but we need to do some things. We need to take out the trash. So here we go. He makes his announcement. Your hands are defiled with blood. Judah, who Isaiah is speaking to, southern part of Israel, the southern tribes, the two southern tribes, they had become successful. They were prospering. They had, in their prosperity, forgotten God. They weren't listening to the warnings that they had departed from God. So God was sending his prophets, but they wouldn't listen. And they began to be violent to the point of shedding blood. This is what the word means here. They had a source or a place of violence in a culture that their violence was leading to death. Now, I don't know if we've gotten that bad yet. Maybe we have. You know, I mean, they had open violence, but do we? Maybe, I don't know. We had a guy working at our house recently, and him and his wife went to San Francisco because they had never been before. They said, let's go to San Francisco this year. And they went up to San Francisco because they wanted to see it, because, you know, on postcards it looks beautiful. And they got there, and they were driving on one of the streets. They came to a stoplight, and they're visiting San Francisco. They came to a stoplight, and some guy ran across the street. They watched this guy run across the street, and he was kind of like, being kind of dodgy-like. And some guy ran past their car, and right in front of them and others in the intersection, a guy pulled out a gun and gunned the guy down dead right in front of them. This is just not long ago in San Francisco. This is the Wild West. Now, I don't know if that's what Isaiah's talking about, but how bad does it have to get? You say, Jack, what are you saying? There's parallels to Judah 3,000 years ago to us? Well, I don't know, maybe. There's a sense of lawlessness that people are exhibiting. I don't want to sound like a kook, but I think it's demonic. I just don't think people were built to do this to other people. I think it's satanic powers that have been either invited or taking over in people's minds. I just don't think God, who made us in his own image, made us with the depravity like that. And so he says, your hands are defiled with blood. Could it be? And he says, your fingers with iniquity? That kind of freaks me out when I thought of that. Because of fingers with iniquity. Iniquity is like sin you love with your fingers. And in this modern age, this is a 3,000-year-old book. Can you imagine if somebody like uses their fingers to commit sins that they love? Would that ever happen? No. Your lips have spoken lies. Oh my gosh. We watched this not too long ago on some Senate hearings where people we elected told lies. We watched them. Wow. You don't have to be a senator to lie. All you have to do is be a human to lie. How big was that fish anyway you caught the other day? You know what I'm saying? I told a lie the other day. I'm sure of it. I dropped my car off to get fixed at Chino Hills Ford. I walked into the showroom floor. That was not a wise decision. I walked into the showroom floor, and they have a Shelby Mustang 2019 on the showroom floor. 800 horsepower. 800. 800. Do you know how many horses that is? 800 of them. Black Shelby Cobra Mustang. Chino Hills Ford in the showroom floor. I'm touching it. And I walked around and I'm looking, and the thought in my mind was, I don't need a car like this. I don't. And I like trucks. I don't need cars. Cars like this, they get you in trouble. Cars like this. See, this is going on in my mind. And the salesman comes and goes, can I help you, sir? And I go, that's fine. Just look it. And I went around to the front windshield, and it had the price tag. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a Mustang Ford. $195,000. $195,000! And I said to myself, I don't need this. I don't need this. Of course. Listen, it's so funny because as soon as I saw the price tag, it's irrelevant if I need it or not. It's impossible. This is impossible. But Jack, all things are possible. No, they're not. That's impossible. So then I told myself I wouldn't want to even drive it. And I lied right to myself. I would love to drive it. I looked in the mirror, as it were, and I realized I would love to drive it. But then I thought, reality, I would kill myself. It's too much power. It's insane. You pay that kind of money, you get that kind of car to go 55 miles an hour on the road. What are we up to as a people? And I was touching it. It was right there. And then I spoke lies to myself. But we take our tongue out. The Bible tells us we lie. We take our tongue out and we lie to people. We say things to people. You say, this Bible study doesn't relate to me. Yes, it does. You're a liar. I'm a liar. We're all liars. The Bible, Jesus said, all men are liars. Did you know that? So that's very offensive. Deal with it. Get over it. Face it. Head on. Jesus, God in flesh, says mankind lies. And it's a sin. And the Bible says the first liar that ever was a guy by the name of Satan. Lucifer himself is the father of all lies. And when God is not in your mind, you lie. Because there's no fear of deceiving someone. Isaiah says, not good. God is saying, not good. Your tongue has muttered perversity. Dirty things. Your tongue. Dirty jokes. You know there's people that just love to tell dirty jokes. There's radio programs that are filthy. God says, and can you imagine? God, there's a meter, sin meter running. Every time, think, oh my goodness, there's programs that it's just, what's real? What's relevant? 3,000 years ago, Isaiah sounds like he's talking to us today. Why? He is. The human heart's the same. Verse 4, no one calls for justice. Well, you can call for it, but you're going to get in trouble. Nor does anyone plead for truth. They trust in empty words and speak lies. They conceive evil and bring forth iniquity. They hatch viper's eggs. So this is a parable now. He's saying it's so wicked what's going on in the culture that what happens is it's just like this. It's like hatching viper's eggs and weave the spider's web. He who eats of their eggs dies, and from that which is crushed, a viper breaks out. Verse 6, their webs will not become garments, nor will they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the act of violence is in their hands. That's very graphic, isn't it? Evildoers. So church, listen. Body, family, listen. Think about that. In our world today, because God's word's eternal, in our world today, do we see people that are just bent on violence or bent on lying? They're habitual sin performers. They don't mess up. They desire to be in a state of messed up. And they love it. And you can't get them out of it. It breaks my heart to see parents who've lost their children. I say children. Their children are 15, 16, 25, 35, 45. Hooked on drugs. Hooked on anything but that which is good. And listen, it's a terrible thing to be a parent to a godless child like that. Because your heart says to do everything that's in your power to help them, but then you know down deep inside if you keep helping them, you're just perpetuating their destruction. And reason and logic says pull back, don't help them anymore, cut them off. They're going to have to dry up. They're going to have to come to the end of themselves before they get. And that is true. Let them know you love them. Make sure they know the gospel. But it breaks your heart, does it not? Breaks your heart. And God is saying that. God is saying, you know what? I cannot have this kind of conduct in my family. I will not. And it's so tragic. And it's a world, and it's a people, it's a person, it's a sin that says, you know what? Every person in the world, they're available for me to use. They're just one step over another to another opportunity for me. You know people like that? I know people like that. You know what? I don't even want them within 10 feet of me because I got to reach for my wallet. I got to make sure my car keys are, you don't know what's going to happen. You know what I'm talking about? They're debased. They're godless. They are what's wrong with this world. Of course, they've got the microphone, so they're the ones saying that we're the ones that's wrong with this world. Evil is good now today, and good has now turned to evil. It's a very, very tragic thing. But it says that they grab onto their life is like viper's eggs, which I don't know anything about this. Maybe it's a Middle East thing. I guess you eat these kind of viper eggs and it'll kill you. What's worse? You know what's worse than a big snake? A little snake. Did you know that? Did you know? You know, if you live in Chino Hills or Diamond Bar area, you know, we have jumbo rattlesnakes. Have you seen some of the rattlesnakes? They're huge. Huge. You know what's worse? If you're going to get bit, which I don't recommend that, but if you were to get bit by a rattlesnake, you'd want to get bit by a big old rattlesnake. You want to know why? Because their venom is not as potent as a little rattlesnake. You know, a rattlesnake like the size of a worm. You know, a little rattlesnake, when they bite you, they release all their venom into you. The older ones release it in milliliters by the drop. The little ones just go, and you're dead. They just let it all out. And Isaiah said, that's how sinners are. That are bent on hell. That's how they are. And what they're doing is so foolish. They live their life, and it's like clothing themselves with spider webs. You know what's interesting about a spider web? A spider secretes the web, the strand, and it's good for the night. And yet another insect, a worm, a silkworm, will secrete, and it's silk. And you can make suits out of it, right? And dresses out of it. Webs, you can walk right through them. I read an amazing story preparing for this message by Dr. H.A. Ironside. Dr. Harry Ironside was pastoring in Los Angeles here in the 1920s, or 30s, the 1930s. And Dr. Ironside talks about a man who, listen to this, this is before Spider-Man. No, I know that's funny with the spider and the web and all that, but listen, this is before Spider-Man. This guy was billed in downtown LA as the human spider. And everybody gathered around, Ironside said, downtown Los Angeles, and the guy went out and he started climbing up the wall of the building, the side of the high-rise building, of the brick building in downtown LA, in the 1930s, and he's climbing, and he got to about the fourth or fifth story, and he was there, and everyone's looking on, and he reached out to pull himself up, and he reached and fell back and was killed. And everybody looked on as the human spider fell to his death in downtown Los Angeles. And Ironside said because he knew officers that had attended his church, the officers told them later when they examined the man, when they went to the body, the man had been obviously killed, but what was in his hand, listen to this, he was climbing a brick wall, but spiders had built an area of that brick wall that was all web, but the brick dust had fallen around the web and made it look like a brick. Exactly. And he reached for what he thought was a brick and grabbed it, and it was nothing but a clump of spider webs. And he fell to his death. Dr. Ironside points out, this is exactly what this portion of scripture is talking about. Evil goes out and they live their life, they do their thing, and they think they're creating for themselves a world, and it's made out of web. They'll fall to their death. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to go down the route that they're going. You don't want to be with friends that are heading down that route. Young people, don't go with those who say, come on, let's go have fun. You better ask them what they mean first. And you know what? In this age, you better know them very well. Because it could turn out to be a total disaster. These are dangerous days. Be very, very careful. Verse 7 says, their feet run to evil. Wow. And they make haste to shed innocent blood. They think it's funny. They run to make mischief and to even injure people. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their paths. Notice the word. They run and they make haste to go do evil. You know what's weird about this? It's weird how the body, the person, our mind, without Jesus Christ, without God governing our lives, have you noticed you and I, before we knew Jesus, remember how hard we used to work? I mean, I don't know about you, but I think so. Before I was a Christian, I worked really hard. My motive was pure money, right? But I was not a Christian, and that's what I did. And have you noticed, though, that we survived the weekends? If weekends were 3 days long, many of us may not have been here tonight. You work really hard, and then come Friday night, you would go out and make haste to find trouble to get into. And I marveled that now that I am older and I know what I'm doing to some degree, I can make much more better judgment calls and decisions now that I'm a Christian, that I don't have the energy to go and do good. Oh, yes, that's a great idea. Let's do it. Okay. All right. Let's go. But if you notice that there's people that they have evil in their mind and they make haste to go do evil. And you see people, they're tired all week because they work hard, and then it's time to do evil, and they've got the energy to do it. Think of it. It's kind of demonic. If we were not following Jesus, we'd have all kinds of energy on Friday. But we do follow Jesus. And so somebody says, come on, let's go down there and feed the homeless. Or let's go down there and do this. And there's this outreach. And let's go do that. I said, oh man, I'd love to, but oh, I'm so tired. Right? It's so weird. It seems like sin gives you a boost. You get all this energy. Oh, let's do that. Isn't it weird? And you got to fight that. You got to push that off. And it's so true. Look, I'll prove it to you tonight. You want to, I mean, for some of us, I'm still working on this with my insomnia, but you want to go to sleep tonight? Okay, look, if you want to stay up tonight, watch a video game, play something on your iPod pad thing. That'll keep you up all night. You want to go to sleep? Open up your Bible. I think Satan comes out of the closet and starts playing the violin. When you read your Bible, I mean, you just get all snoozy. And this is us as Christians. The world, they don't have the governor of the Holy Spirit. And they go rampant. They go crazy. It's tragic. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, 2 Timothy 3, 1, it says, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. Men and women, mankind, will be lovers of themselves. Look out for number one. He who dies with the most toys wins. You know all that really dumb talk? Lovers of themselves. Thinking that, you know what, whatever I want, I'm going to get it, and I don't care how many people have to be hurt for me to have it. They crush people in life. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Wow, look who travels in this crowd of sin. Disobedient to parents. You know what that means? No regard for authority. That's what that means. You know what? Listen, go look this up. Don't believe me. Go look at the stats. Kids who grew up disobedient to their parents wind up in jail or dead. Did you know that? Go look. See, that's ridiculous. Go look and see. Because they learn from a young age not to have any respect for authority. They don't respect their parents. They weren't taught to respect their parents. And so when they get old enough, they leave. And when they leave, they think they can manipulate people just like they did their parents. But they can't. And they wind up either getting imprisoned because they don't. Why would they respect a police officer? Or they wind up getting killed. It's tragic. Look at the traveling partners in this warning in the last days. Unthankful, Wow. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. So that means they're bitter. They're bitter, always complaining. I would think, right, unloving, they don't care for anybody. They're always bitter and angry, critical of everybody and everything. Slanders, right? Oh, they open their mouth and they just tear that person down in front of other people. They just... Without self-control, does it sound like our world today, right? Brutal. Despisers of good, they make fun of what's good. Traitors, you can't make a deal with them. You can't work with them because they'll break the deal. You want to agree on this? Yeah, let's agree. And then before you even walk away from them, they're already planning on breaking the deal to use you. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Wow. And Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it basically sums it up by saying, for the wages of sin is death, leads to the end. Look at verse 8. It says, the way of peace they've not known, and there is no justice in their ways. They have made themselves crooked paths. This is amazing. Crooked paths. You should circle the word crooked. Crooked paths. Whoever takes that way shall not know peace. This is a profoundly simple but undeniable, relevant, and important statement. Listen to this. The word crooked here, in the Hebrew word, it's this. It means to twist or to bend that which is straight. It means to take something that is right and make it wrong. It means to take what is straight and to make it crooked or to become, listen, the word is translated to make something that is wholesome, perverted. So it's to take what's intended to be good and you convert it into perversion. By the way, when's the last time you heard the word pervert or perversion? Can't even say the word pervert anymore. Well, it's a real word, you know. And this word here, to make crooked, is to pervert the way. To pervert. Who perverts the way? A perverted person. What's a perverted person? I've heard the word, but what does it mean? It means a person that has crooked logic. Their brain and heart is twisted. A person that's perverted is a twisted person. How do you know? Because they take a good thing and they make it bad. You know anybody like that? They take an opportunity, they destroy it. They take an overture and they crush it. They take love and they throw it into the ground. They're given something, they break it. There's a path of destruction everywhere they go. God says, don't be like that. Keep me in your thoughts. Keep me ever before you, because if you don't, this is what happens when you cannot look into the mirror and see the person that I created you to be and that I want you to be in Christ. If you don't look in the mirror, then you're going to look at yourself inside. You won't look at your face, but you're going to look everywhere you go. You're going to be looking for and looking on behalf of yourself once. And you'll use people. You'll manipulate people. And you'll say things like, well, if you really loved me and, you know, you're so nice to everybody else, but there's just this game. And he's warning us. And that word crooked is so colorful in the tragic, to be perverted. Isaiah 5:11 says, woe to those who rise early in the morning, that they may follow intoxicating drink, who continue until night, till wine inflames them. They take something and they ruin it. Isaiah 5:18 says, what sorrow for those who drag their nets behind them. Listen to this. What sorrow for those who drag their nets, or sins, excuse me, who drag their sins behind them. Imagine this in your imagination. They're pulling their sins behind them with ropes made of lies, who drag wickedness behind them like a cart. It's all this baggage in life. They're pulling all of their dealings with people and their abuse of people. And then finally this one, Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, Isaiah 5:20 to 21 says, "What sorrow for those who say that evil is good and good is evil, that dark is light and light is dark, that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever." Isn't that powerful? All because we may have had God in our minds at one time. We thought about God. We were young, maybe. Those of you, maybe you grew up in a Christian church or whatever upbringing you had where God was there and you had some restraint, some knowledge of God. And then you kind of washed God out of your mind and out of your heart. Or maybe you've become a Christian and this has gone on in your life where you've gotten away from him, thinking like that of him. You know, it's tragic, and I'll wrap this up. It's tragic, you guys, that it's very easy to do. We just, all we have to do is relax in our pursuit of God. Kind of just let go a moment. Last Sunday, in between one of the services, I was talking to a gentleman, and I don't remember how we got on this. Oh, the topic, he's a police officer, and the topic was the issue of death. And he said something to the effect, well, the person just gave up. The person just gave up. And I asked him, I said, have you ever come close to dying? And his story was in somewhat like mine, in the sense that it had to do with drowning. He said, oh my goodness, one time I almost drowned. And I said, me too, twice actually, for me. And I said, I wonder, you know, I love the water so much, you'd think I'd stay out of the water, because two times it's almost killed me. But, and so we started telling stories. What happened to you? And he told me his thing. He's like, so then, but what's amazing is how fragile life is. Yes, many of us, many of you, thank God for you. Many of you have a child. You sponsor a child in the Love Molly Project, your school in West Africa. It's 100% funded by you. 700 Muslim children getting the best education in the entire country because of you. You ought to look it up, by the way. If you're not involved, you ought to look it up. You ought to check it out. And Pastor Steve just got back from Africa. And he said, Jack, your young man, the young boy that you and Lisa sponsored, it appears he got bit by a mosquito and died of malaria. And it, what? Think of it, a mosquito? Are you kidding me, a mosquito? Well, in that part of the world, yes. So fragile life is. And so I was in high school, totally lost, sinner, swimming, bunch of nuts, you know. We're up at Lake Arrowhead in the middle of the night, midnight-ish, 1 o'clock in the morning. Hey, let's swim across over there. Let's swim to that dock. All right, who's going to say? When you're in high school, you don't say no to nothing. So a bunch of us jumped in the water. We're swimming across the lake. You know what we forgot? We forgot that we're at 6,500 feet. That's what we forgot. You try to breathe air at 6,500 feet? And I went down. To this day, God Almighty, an angel, someone saved me. Someone not of this world, I'll tell you that. The next day, I could hardly function. I stayed in bed the entire day. My rib cage felt like it was so bruised because my lungs had been expanding and contracting so bad. I was going to drown. And I knew I was dying. And you know what you do? You're treading the water, and it's black sky and it's black water because it's black. And when you're going like this, you guys, and some of you are like this in life. I hope not. I'm just saying this in a general sense. I hope no one is doing this. And you're just like this. and you're gone. And when you're too tired this way, at least for me, 2 years ago, I was 3 years ago in Maui, I was doing this and I wasn't making it. The current, it was nasty. And when I wear out this way, I'm a stronger swimmer on my back. So I started swimming on my back. That was my last resort. Okay, I'm not making it this way. I got to go on my back. And I'm a couple hundred yards offshore and it ain't not looking good. And I was in a shallow bay, deep enough to drown, that's for sure. But the water in that shallow bay was, the tide was receding so quickly. Thank God that in the middle of nowhere out there, as I'm going back, because I'm swimming backstroke back, and I'm realizing, I am not making it any closer to shore. And I remembered literally, Lisa's on the beach. She totally has no idea what's going on. And I literally just said, Jesus, take care of my family. This is it. This is how it's going to go. 3 years ago, you guys were all here having a wonderful day. And you know what happened? It was joyous. I absolutely ripped myself into a reef. I was bleeding. I had to sit on that reef for over an hour to let the current stop because it was going down. And then I was so happy to be bleeding. I got onto the beach. Sir, you're bleeding really bad. It's good. It's all good. I'm serious. And this blood's going down my back, down my legs, and into the sand. And I'm like, it's good. Because, listen, I knew I was going to heaven. But I would have liked to have said goodbye to my wife. She had no idea probably where I was at. You know, you want to make one more phone call to the grandkids. You know what I'm saying? You don't know. In your life, what's real? What's really relevant? Seriously? $195,000 Mustang? Really? Come on. Okay, I'm not going to fault you if you buy it and you drive it and all. That's your business. You know what? That's your business. But you know you don't need it, right? Do you know how much you and I really need in this world? Clothes to cover our nakedness. Some form of a roof over our head would be nice. And you know what? Just a little bit something to eat through the day. Not to live to eat, but to eat to live. And you know, if we have that, we should be so thankful. And if in our lives there's some sort of sin that God is speaking to us about, maybe God is saying, you know what, listen, friends, this is for all of us. If God is saying, you need to bring this to me, if God is saying, you need to take this thing of your life and you need to bring it here, I want you to know something right now. If you bring it to Jesus, I just have to warn you, he will not stop there. Well, you know, really, maybe I should become a Christian because I need to stop smoking, and that would really save money. So, and I'd probably get healthier too. Just know something. You want to come to Jesus on your terms, okay? Just know it's not going to work because he's not like that. Oh, he might help you with your smoking, but he won't stop there. He'll conquer your heart and your mind. And he'll go to work in your life, and you know what? He'll reach down, he'll grab that thing like the dentist does, and he'll pull that infected tooth out of your jaw, blood flying everywhere, going every which way, but it's out. And Jesus will reach down and say, you know what? This place of pride in your life, I'll help you with the smoking, and I'll help you with the eating, and we'll take care of this. Your cussing mouth, we'll fix that one. But I'm telling you, Jack, Judy, Fred, Barney, whatever your name is here tonight, he'll just go like this. We'll get this one done. We'll get that out of the way. But I'm going for that. And he'll go down and he'll get that thing. And it might, listen, there's stuff. I've been a Christian 42 years. There's stuff. There's pots and pans flying out of the hole. He's digging down there and he's bringing stuff up. I didn't even know what was in me. That's the Christian life. He never stops. I came to Jesus because I just wanted to. Yeah, that's why you came. But he got you. And he reeled you in. And then he starts gutting you open and cleaning you. And he won't stop until he starts to see himself in you. And if that makes sense to you tonight, then that's the Holy Spirit talking to you tonight. You need to tell Jesus right now tonight, Lord, I want you in my life. Watch this. I want you in my life because you're God. You made me. I'm a sinner. And I need to be saved because I'm guilty. And I understand tonight that Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. And that you rose again from the dead to fulfill that promise. So Lord, wash me clean and make me new. Do a work in my life, God, and don't stop until you're done. Just take me now, Jesus, and mold me and shape me. Let's pray together. Father, Lord, we ask you now, Almighty God, to bring forth your healing touch upon all of us tonight by your grace and by your power. Father, what is real? We have been so deceived. We've allowed ourselves to be tricked and bamboozled, Lord, by the glitz and glamour, the Madison Avenue hype, the Hollywood spin. We've allowed ourselves, Father, in our ignorance, Lord, and in our silliness to be awed and awed and wowed by the things of this world. And Lord, we're asking you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Jesus of Nazareth, the Jesus of the Bible, to forgive us, Lord, as Christians. Cleanse us, Lord, as we repent before you now. And Lord, for anyone in here that is in here tonight that has never walked with you before, they've never been a real follower of Jesus. They might have been religious. They might have had thoughts about God, but they've never known you. Lord, that tonight you would reel them in, that they would just sense your great presence, your great desire to be one with them. But Father, that you would bring forth your healing touch in all of our lives tonight. We need you in all so many ways. Lord, touch us this evening. Renew us, cleanse us, strengthen us. We praise you that you are our Lord and Savior. Church, let's stand in closing. Let's praise him with this song, for he alone is worthy. Mean the words, voice the words, express the words. And tonight, if you're saying yes to Jesus Christ tonight, then there'll be pastors and elders up front here to pray with you and to give you a Bible and to welcome you into the kingdom of God and to love on you tonight. And if you need prayer, specific healing, special touch from God, there'll be prayer elders to pray with you. But friend, don't leave tonight broken. Don't leave tonight empty. Don't leave tonight the same way that you came in if God is speaking to you. So let's praise him now in Jesus' name.